Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 25, The Characteristics of King Puranjan, Text 46. Panchadvarastupurastya Daksinaika tatutara Pashime dve mamusante Namani dripavanaye. My dear king, of the nine doors, five led toward the eastern side, one led toward the northern side, one led toward the southern side, and two led toward the western side. I shall try to give the names of these different doors. Purport. Of the seven doors on the surface, namely the two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, and one mouth, five look forward, and these are described as the doors facing the eastern side. Since looking forward means seeing the sun, these are described as the eastern gates, for the sun rises in the east. The gate on the northern side and the gate on the southern side represent the two ears, and the two gates facing the western side represent the rectum and the genitals. All the doors and gates are described below. Om Agyana Dasya Gyananana Salakaya Shakshura Minitamya Tasmai Si Gurave Nama Shri Chaitana Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Swapanantikam Vandeham Si Guru Si Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sivisakan Vitamscha He Krishna Guru Nisindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangira Devindavane Swari Visabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Aripriye Vancha Kalpata Rubyacha Sakripa Sindubye Ivacha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaisnavi Vyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nichananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Narada Muni is, in his causeless mercy, has decided to deliver this king. And this is the nature of saintly personalities, that they are paradukha dukhi. They are always feeling the suffering of others, even when others cannot see it, that they're suffering. The king was not aware that he was in a suffering condition. He thought he was doing very well, until he met Narada. Then he realized that it wasn't exactly like that. Then he realized actually that what he thought had been enjoyment was actually misery. This is Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyanandana Salakya Shakshura Militam Yanatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. This is to open up the darkened eyes that have been blinded by ignorance. So, due to ignorance, we think that this material world is an enjoyable place. Dvaveva chintya mukto paramananda aplukto yovi mukto jada bala yoganebhya param gata. Two types of persons are thinking that this material world is a place to enjoy. Some are self-realized souls beyond the three modes of material nature, and the others, childish, retarded fools. So we can sort of see which is applicable to us. If we have any tendency to enjoy the material world, then it might be that we are or if we experience any happiness in the material world, it might be that we are self-realized souls. Or if we're experiencing happiness in the material world, then there's the other option, which I mentioned before, dot, dot, dot. So, you know, multiple choice, as you like, what to be said. Narada Muni made it really clear that going back to Godhead was the goal. And he impressed it so much on Maharaj Prachinabharisa that he left his kingdom after hearing this whole narration. He just left the kingdom, even uncared for. He didn't wait for his son. He just let the ministers sort of look after the kingdom. He left. His sons were still performing austerities and didn't even come back home. So he didn't exactly take a lot of time to properly turn over all the material arrangements, because he fully realized that the material world and everything relating to the body is very temporary, very short, and one cannot waste a moment. Therefore, better right now, take up the activity that really makes sense, right? The eternal activity, right now, without delay, because there is no guarantee whatsoever. The material energy is treacherous. We're seeing how Ganga Devi is represented by a female form riding on a crocodile, which is Ganga Devi is basically coming into the material world, and the material energy is the crocodile. So crocodiles, you can sort of tame a dog, right? But a crocodile, there's no such thing as making a friendship with a crocodile. It doesn't work like that. Whenever he gets the opportunity, there he goes. So the material energy is treacherous, totally unreliable. That is the nature of the material energy. So there is no question that we can ever be sure that it will be okay. No. It can turn into potentially, the potential is there that any situation can turn into a nightmare. Now, that may sound so negative. Sometimes people say, but you're so negative. Why don't you Hare Krishnas, you're just so negative about the material world. I mean, see the beauty. See the beauty. There's so much, so many wonderful things and so beautiful. Well, we're not denying that, but it can go wrong any moment. The earth can rip open any time. I have experienced and in a room in Mayapur that suddenly at 6 a.m. it sounded as if someone was hitting a hammer on the wall, a big one. So I was looking, what's going on? And then another one, bang, and it sounded like, are they coming through the wall? And the next moment, just the floor just cracked right open. Well, I was very fast. I grabbed all my valuables in one snatch, and I flew out the door. And within 30 seconds, I had all my stuff outside the room, including myself. So these are the moments when we are tested and when our material attachments are coming out. And what shall we say? The material world is full of surprises. That is really how it is. And we cannot think that it's going to be any different. So while things are smooth, while things are peaceful, we may as well get out of here now. Take advantage of it now. Now that everything is quiet, we know what can go wrong, right? You can just think of a few things that can go wrong. The Third World War still didn't start, but it could start. And 212 is coming, and we have just heard it, that what's going to happen? The axis of the Earth is going to change, and there's going to be a tidal wave. Or was it 4 kilometers high? Two only. Okay, I'm exaggerating. 2 kilometers high. So even Radadesh, if you're on the tip of the tower, I don't know, if you're more than 2 kilometers above the sea level, if not, you need your snorkel. Right. So get ready, right? And otherwise, really, we have to all move to Switzerland or to other such places, high and dry, and so on. Yes, 212, it's coming. There are always such predictions, and I hope that ISKCON will respond in the same way as they did to Y2K, namely by getting huge food supplies. That would be really good. At least on the Spanish farm, we were eating for 6 years from the Y2K. So I thought it was fantastic. I mean, really, that was a great thing. So let us dig in and let us get ready for doomsday. That will help a lot because, you know, it can happen. Yes, it can. Right? But while it's not happening, we could also just take advantage of the nice, peaceful conditions that we have and read. You know, now, wherever you look, any room, it's packed up with books. We never read them, of course, but we have them. And all kinds of, we have a full set of Bhagavatam and so many other things. And when you open them up, big clouds of dust come out because the last time that we opened it up, you know, was when we bought them. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes they're still in the original plastic, you know, in many places, actually. They stand on the shelf in the original plastic, and you really know for sure. So, like this, now is a peaceful time. I mean, so far, so good. So now we can actually take advantage, and that is the idea. At a peaceful time, once you take full advantage, you just don't know. Once the disaster starts, what will be left? What books will be left? We don't know. In Durban, we have the deputy mayor who comes every year on Rata Yatra, and every year he gives the same speech, and it's a good speech. It describes how during the apartheid days he was a member of the ANC, the revolutionary party that was trying to overthrow the government, and he was arrested, jailed into solitary confinement, and they allowed him one book. And since he was Hindu, he said, well, the Bhagavad Gita. And they gave him Prabhupada's Gita. And for 2 years, he was locked up alone with Prabhupada's Gita. I mean, imagine. Yeah, the only book to read for 2 years. What? Imagine that would happen to us. Huh? Huh? Yeah, maybe finally we would read it. Right? Maybe we'd even memorize some verses, you know, what else to do? Right? Just Bhagavad Gita. And we might even consider that, let's memorize the whole thing. Right? It could be. We might even do that, you know, every day recite it, right? Make a whole thing, the Gita, Dharma Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra, and so on. So, when the external circumstances change a little bit, then everything can change a lot. If the axis of the earth moves a little, or if you go into solitary confinement, or whatever, right? Life is like that. You know, it can change any moment completely. Anything can happen at any moment. That is the material world. Therefore, there's no time to waste. You cannot get comfortable. You cannot think that, well, you know, later I'll get more serious. Tomorrow I'll surrender. No, tomorrow you won't surrender if you're not surrendering today. Surrender is now. It is surrender is always in the moment, just now. Then we can do it. So, but somehow or other, saintly personalities like Narada Muni are distributing their mercy and awakening the conditioned souls. So, in the same way, Srila Prabhupada did it to us, right? And then life changes a lot, and we have changed a lot, right? Our lives really have changed so much, and therefore sense gratification now is not in the forefront. We may still have attachment, but it's not in the forefront of our mind. Because we don't really, really believe in it. We may be attached to it, but we don't really believe in it. Just like sometimes I have said, we should make a declaration of no faith in sex. At least that much. Think about it. Right? Do you really think that sex will make you happy? Anybody? There are a few. But we're still attached to it. We don't believe that it will make us happy, but still we also can't give up the attachment because we get some enjoyment. We know that it's not going to fully make us happy, but a little happy maybe for a short while. And you think, well, that's better than nothing. Right? So in this way, we're still attached, but we don't have full faith. This is it. There are people in the world, quite a few. It's a well-known fact. You can go to Bangkok, to Pattaya, and it's full of 50, 60-year-old men from America and Europe with 20-year-old girls. That's what Pattaya is all about. And they live there. They even marry the girls, right? And they just stay there. Many of them marry such girls and stay there for their old age. And they get their pension transferred over there, and, you know, euros or dollars into bahts is not too bad. And, you know, then they live on the beach with some nice, young, exotic girl enjoying their old age. I'm not advertising in case someone gets attracted by this description. You know, it's just a total waste of time. Really, I mean, in your old age, what a foolish thing to do. Right? What a foolish thing to do, to get deeply, deeply entrenched once again. We are here and having an opportunity to do it now. To develop a little bit of detachment now. We can, of course, wait. Well, I'll wait a little longer. All right. Come back in 10 years. Well, I'll wait a little longer. Okay. Come back in 10 years. I'll wait a little longer. Where is so-and-so? Oh, he left 3 years ago. And if we come back every 10 years, then at one point, we may not be there anymore. And then what? Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam. Then we will take a birth according to whatever mentality we've cultivated. Sometimes I'm thinking about last life. And yesterday I opened up a little notebook where I had a few years ago written something about about that, you know. And that... in Punjab there is this Brigu reader, and you can go there, and they may know who you were in the last life, and who were we in the last life? Do you ever think maybe we were already a devotee in our last life? Could have been, and then come back again, and this time, and so on. That could be. On the other hand, it might also be that. At least that I wrote in the diary. It might also have been that we were a worm and that some Vaishnava just spit and that it all landed on our head. Right? It could have been. And that just by that that event we got human birth, you know. And our devotional service began, you know what I mean? It could also have been that we were a rat in our last life and somehow or other ate some prasadam, and that is why we still have this rat-like mentality in this life. Yeah. Huh? So, indeed, sometimes you can look at people and you can sort of see on what, well, what animal they look like. Have you ever done that? Huh? With teachers in school? Yeah? We had one teacher, he was an ostrich, right? There was no doubt about it. He was an ostrich, a little brill, little glasses on his nose like that. A big bird, you know? I knew it straight away when I saw him. He's an ostrich. So I also figured out that when you put pressure on him, he will put his head in the sand, right? And sure enough, you know, he did. So, were they ostriches in their last life? And is still something left over in the subtle body in this life? It might be possible. So, when you start thinking about last lives, it's very interesting. But the main thing is that rather than to go to Bhrigu readers, you know, anybody who went to a Bhrigu reader, they were always a prince in Orissa or some queen in Jaipur, you know. I never heard of someone who was a street dog in Tokyo or something like that, you know. So I have my doubts, you know, about these Bhrigu readers. But anyway, last life. I like to think of that in last life I probably was a worm or a rat. Because that helps me a lot, you know. If I think of myself as a rat in my last life, and then I look in the mirror and I think, yeah, you rat. And it helps me to deal with my lower nature. Because, honestly speaking, if I was a devotee in my last life, then I blew it. Then I blew it. If we were devotees in our last life, then we blew it. Then we came back again this time. Right? That means that we were not really serious in our spiritual life. That we were still playing. That we were still dragging our feet. That we were still looking at the material world and saying, oh, it's so good. How can I give it up? Oh, I know I should, but boy, I mean, how can I? It must have been like that if we came back. Or that we still stepped on the toes of the devotees again and again. That we still blasphemed them. That we still criticized them. And that we couldn't stop. That we were so proud in our last life that we came back. So it's interesting to think, you know, why did I come back? Did you ever think about that? Well, like, and then if I think, well, why did I come back? In my case, probably because I'm really stubborn. Because I'm so stubborn that I'll never listen to anybody. Right? That I'll anyway do what I want. I mean, that's why I came back in a country, you know, where there is facility for that. Right? Yeah? That's quite clear. Right? So like that, we are taking our birth. You can think about it. Why did I come back? Why? What was it? What was it in me that I had to do it one more time? Why didn't I go back to Godhead in my last life? What was it? Well, I was attached to a few things. Yes, you can name them, and so on. So if we think about that, then we can in this life maybe say, but you know, I'm not going to fall in the same trap again this life. No way. This time, I'm going to try and deal with these things. So, this is really our opportunity. Our opportunity is to finally deal with our false ego. To deal with our material conditioning. Not just to sit in it like in a cocoon and say it's nice, warm, and comfortable, like a sleeping bag zipped up all over your head. My material attachments and my conditioning and my stubborn nature, etc. And I will not open this sleeping bag. I'll just stay in here this life and I won't come out. Like I was talking yesterday with a certain devotee who has, I have noticed, one time stayed more than 30 hours in his sleeping bag. And I asked him, how do you do that? You don't have to go to the bathroom. It's like, you know, 30 hours in a sleeping bag. He said, well, you know. But some people have this capacity. And in the same way, we stay just within the comfort of our material conditioning, life after life, even although we got so much mercy. So the mercy means we have to go to work. We have to really try to deal with our material conditioning and say, out, 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 finished, no more. That's how it is. And time goes by quick. More the lines in our face are growing deeper. The nose a little bigger. Like that, age is showing some symptoms. Showing some symptoms. So let us do something. At least I'm thinking like that to myself. And I'm telling myself that I should do something more serious than I have done before. That is really the conclusion. I have now, this is now the third class on the same theme, so you get sort of, you deal with everything in three lectures, right? So it's basically one long lecture in three parts, right? So yesterday we had lots of fun, but today we must come to a conclusion. Today we must sort of, I said before the class, no, today it's not going to be old jokes, right? Today it's going to be grave, very grave. Said, oh, come on, you know, a few. So, okay, a few I put in, but not too many. Why grave? Because ultimately we have to get serious. Ultimately, we have to get serious about the opportunity given. And that is really what King Puranjan is about. Get serious. Get serious now. We have already postponed too long, dragged our feet too long, and as a result, some of us are already preparing for the next birth. Some of us, again, are not going to make it. And if I think about that, well, that's not encouraging. I wouldn't want to say, well, I was almost there, but didn't quite make it. That sort of is something, I could have nightmares about something like that. You know? Sorry, really close, but just not close enough. Sorry, try again. Yeah, that is something that scares me. I'm scared of that. So I would desire that I would become more serious. That is something to do. More serious about my own spiritual life. You can externally do everything. You can take all the initiations. You can do so many things. But internally, still the same. So it takes a very serious endeavor. Now, initiations, I was thinking about, they are mercy. And the second initiation, I wanted to say something about. Because the second initiation is the beginning of our meditation. It's when we're meant to meditate. The Gayatri mantras are all about meditating on the spiritual master, on the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and on his nature, on his pastime. So this kind of thing is important, that we work on our meditation. How can we ever rise above the material energy if it is only a struggle, If it is from, I know, it's not good, because it entangles you. I got to somehow or other detach. I know, but I'm so attracted to it. Because there's no meditation. There must be a meditation on Krishna. It must evolve. We, in our movement, we are not against householder life. This whole chapter is about Puranjan, and you can, of course, every day attack the householders and do something, you know, something different every day. And yesterday I got them good, and how shall I get them today? You lowly fallen householders. The blind following the blind, wasting your time. What to do? One could approach it like that. But we are not against household life. But when we are thinking about household life, then we think about the best household life. Nandan Yasoda in the spiritual world. When Nanda Maharaj heard that Krishna was going to be in Kurukshetra, he decided to also go. And when they came there, and when they saw Krishna, Nanda was just totally overwhelmed just seeing his son. And Krishna, equally so. Krishna was so overwhelmed seeing Nanda Maharaj that he just started to behave different. And he started to act like a cowherd boy instead of like a prince. So Vasudev noticed the change in Krishna. And he was a little bit shocked to see that there was such a change in Krishna. How is it possible? And Vasudev then, he made a comment and he said, well, it's logical, it's understandable, you know, that Krishna is so attached to Nanda Maharaj, although he's not his real father. Right? After all, he stayed there for quite a long time in Vrindavan. And Nanda Maharaj, he was just there and he said, like, what is Vasudev? What in the world is Vasudev talking about? I mean, he couldn't even relate to it. Krishna, not my son? Huh? I mean, what rubbish, you know? Here's my son, Krishna. He's my son. And his mood of accepting Krishna as his son was so overwhelming that there was just nothing else, nothing else. Jiva Goswami describes that, how is it possible? How is it possible that Devaki asked Krishna to bring back her six sons who had previously died when she had already Krishna and Balaram as her son? I mean, how could she want any other sons when she had Krishna Balaram as her son? Yeah? Who could care for six sons? But Devaki somehow asked for this. How could Vasudev perform a big sacrifice for material auspiciousness with the sages at Kurukshetra when Krishna was there? And everything was auspicious since Krishna was there. What need was there to perform any sacrifice for auspiciousness when things were most auspicious, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present? So in this way, we are meditating on Nanda and Yasoda. And how deep is their focus on Krishna? How deep is their attachment to Krishna? And nothing but that. That's the real household ashram. So in this way we become purified through meditation. If we meditate on the spiritual world, then gradually we can forget about the material world. That is our process. Our process is not, you know, close the door on Maya. It hurts. No, that's not our process. And then look out through the little window. No. Our process is to simply increase our meditation on the spiritual world more and more, and on the eternal activities of Krishna, and gradually appreciate this is what it's all about. This is really what is important. And in this way, we can gradually rise above. So we have to go deep and in finding out more about Krishna. And if we don't do that, and if we never open the Bhagavatam, and we may be working hard for Krishna, but still, that meditation is not happening. And then we're still, and then we're meditating on all the things that we are not allowed to do. And it's not easy, if you know what I mean, to live like that. Okay, I have to leave in 5 minutes, so is there a question or a comment?
What to do?
Yes. The mission of ISKCON is to meditate on Krishna and to make other people meditate on Krishna. So sooner or later you can't separate the two. In the beginning you think that, you know, the mission of ISKCON, we will have meetings, we'll organize, and we have to keep the Sankirtan vehicles oiled and so on. And we have to. It is a fact. But while we're in these Sankirtan vehicles driving to the Sankirtan spot, maybe one of the devotees will actually read a little bit about Krishna or about Lord Chaitanya, something about the Supreme Lord. And you know, it might even stick. And when you're out there on the mission, freezing in your boots on the dark streets in the winter, and just going up to people and just saying, "Excuse me, are you a student?" "Yes." "Oh, great. You know, here, this is for you, for reading, you know." And then you do the whole thing, right? And everyone gives the donation, yes, for the printing. Because you don't have to buy it. Just give it. You can give a donation, you know. I mean, can you give a little more? It cost, you know, it cost 30 euros to print, you know. But if you give 20, I'll put in the rest, you know. And like that, you know. Because somebody just before gave a somewhat bigger donation. So it balances out, no problem. You can have it for 20. Yeah. All right. So the mission. And then in the middle of it all, if you think a little bit about Krishna, then the way that you are engaged in the mission is completely different. You know. Then instead of austerity, then it is actually mercy. How can we be compassionate unless we're experiencing something better? You know what I mean? Think about that. The mission. Compassion. We're giving out the mercy to the fallen, suffering, conditioned demon souls. And, you know, with fangs and claws and everything. And we're just compassionate. Compassion means you can only have compassion if you have something better. So we need to meditate on Krishna. Otherwise the mission becomes dry, a burden, austerity. And one day we think, after 5 years of Sankirtan, I can't do it anymore. Well. It's a sad story. Any other? There's still 2 minutes left. Okay, yes. Something is lacking. Something is lacking. Of course, one can meditate on Krishna anyway. Also, someone who's not Sekhet initiated can meditate on Krishna. But the Gayatri Mantra gives us an interesting meditation. First, it makes us see that Krishna is behind everything. Yeah? In the Brahma Gayatri, we see how whatever we see, Krishna is behind it all. He's the source of it all. That's where it begins. And then we realize mercy of Guru, mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Otherwise we can't go anywhere. Otherwise we can't understand the spiritual reality. So all these steps are very nicely there. And that is very... so that is... It's quite nice. The principle is that I'm not talking, when I say I meditation, that now we have to start to meditate on Ras Lila. But I'll give you one story about meditation. When I first got the Maha Mantra, I got it from a musician named Burton Green, who was doing jam sessions with me. We're doing ragas, and somehow or other, Burton Green was, after the ragas, he said, let's do some mantra. And we did, and it was the Maha Mantra. Later, I read the Lilamrita, and I saw that Burton Green was a piano player who, in the Matchless Stiff gift storefront, used to play on that string board from the piano. He used to hammer on the keys there. So I got the Maha Mantra in Parampara from Burton Green, through Burton Green from Prabhupada. Just see. Little did I know. And at that time, the mantra was for me only sound, spiritual sound. I didn't have any other association with it. I had no other meditation than sound. That much I knew. It's spiritual sound. So I had a little meditation. Someone else might just think, what's this? You know, Hare Krishna. I mean, you know, I don't know. What is it? You know, Hare Krishna. I mean, you know. Yeah, what is it, you know? What is it? At least I knew it's a mantra and it's spiritual sound. So I knew a little more than just some Joe Blow. But I had no association, yellow dhoti, flute, peacock feather, and nothing, you know? Now you say Krishna, you know, my mind goes like, Govardhan Hill, you know, ta-da-da-da-da, you know, Yamuna Tira, Vanachari, right? I mean, you know, you say Krishna, I can go for a long time by Prabhupada's mercy, because so much went in. So, with time, our meditation changes, and we know so much more about Krishna. In this way, our Krishna consciousness really develops. And then, at one point, we become more aware that this is what it's all about, to meditate on Krishna. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu vismartavyo na jatu sit. To always remember Krishna, to never forget him. But one must meditate on his own level. See, if I go meditate on the Astakaliya Lila of Radha and Krishna, I can do that, but that there's one problem. And the problem is that my love for Krishna, if there is any, is very small and very shallow, whereas Radharani's love is very, very deep. So how can I understand her love? I can't. So I can read about it, theoretically understand, but I cannot really understand. So therefore, I may sometimes have a quick look at Astakaliya Lila, but it's not yet the subject of my daily meditation. So one must meditate according to his level. Right? But meditation must be there. Otherwise, we are lost. And otherwise, we are just externally performing things and we'll start experiencing it as a burden. So Gayatri is very helpful. So everyone who didn't take second initiation should get ready for it as soon as possible. Don't waste any time. All right, thanks a lot. It was lots of fun. See you again, Radhadesh. You are already invited for the 30th of April to come to Amsterdam. You write it in your agenda. There will be a free bus leaving from Radhadesh. It's part of my birthday party. I invite everyone to come on the bus. Even Manohar has promised to come this year. Everyone. Isn't it, Manohar? See? See, he said it in front of the deities and all of you. So he won't come up with any excuses. Isn't it, Manohar? So it's going to be lots of fun. And, well, you got to be there and see what's coming. So I'll surely see you for that next time. And I can't wait. Time will fly, and I will also fly. And if I don't go now, I will not fly. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai.